What's up, citizens of Apologia? This is King Ginger, and I just wanted to take a moment to encourage you all to sign up for Apologia All Access. When you sign up for Apologia All Access, you're going to get exclusive on-demand content. This means that you and your entire family are going to get to watch every single TV show, every single after show, and every single Apologia Academy, with new content dropping every single week. But most importantly, your contribution helps Apologia Studios create quality, Christ-centered entertainment that reaches millions of people on our YouTube channels and through our podcast with the gospel. So what are you waiting for? Change everything at ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
Yes!
What?
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. I'm Jeff the Ninja. This is the gospel heard around the world. Back for another episode, now actually in the makeshift studio, as Pastor Luke, who is right beside me, Luke the Bear,
what up?
Prepares our new studio for our new show. We can't wait to introduce you guys to. We are keeping all the information sort of secret for the moment as we build everything. We will let you guys know very, very soon. You maybe even hear about it before this episode is dropped, but very excited about what's happening at Apologia Studios and very, very nostalgic at the moment because 2 years ago when we started Apologia Studios, we started everything in the writer's room while Pastor Luke built the Utter set.
Utter.
And we're back. We're back now in this makeshift studio in the writer's room next to Joy, the girl.
Hello.
Can't even see Marcus King Ginger.
I'm here.
But he is here. He's in another room right now. And so here we go. We are back. So what happened while I was gone, guys? What'd you guys do? I was in Ireland, by the way, for almost 2 weeks. Well, let me tell you about what happened to me. I'm excited to tell you about some cool stuff. So I went to Ireland, excited about this trip because we actually made the plans for it over a year ago. And we have a lot going on right now. So to leave, you know, to do ministry elsewhere and obviously, you know, for teaching for our church and to put everything up online for people, you know, it's important to us, but it's a long period of time to leave for, but we committed to it and we thought it was really good to do because, you know, it was for the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland. They're covenanters.
And real deal ones,
and not like the covenanters that you...
They weren't trying to choke you or anything?
Yeah, these are not like covenanters like I've met before in the U.S. These people are like... these are legit. They've got the covenanter signs on all their churches. I mean, like, I was impressed. Like, they're really amazing, sweet, sweet, godly people.
They're not Facebook covenanters.
No. I was a little taken back. I was like, oh, that's Covenanter? They're like, yeah, we're like OG Covenanters.
Right.
So anyway, so it was good because, you know, a Reformed Baptist is going to lead their national conference, which is what it was, for their families all over Ireland. And I thought that was good. It's good unity. It's important to do. And so I go out to Ireland, and it was beautiful. I'm going to tell you right now, the people of Ireland, the Christians there, are incredible, incredible people. I loved being with them. And Jono and Raquella, Sage and I stayed with a couple out there. They're some of the most amazing people in the world. Love them so much. And Raquella, I also don't flatter. So I mean that. You are amazing people. She's Scottish. She's from Scotland.
Oh,
he's from Ireland. And she's got this really thick and rich Scottish accent. And he's got the Irish accent. And their kids are just precious and amazing, like 8 and 10 years old. They're really, really young. And they have these high, squeaky voices. and these thick accents. So it was like so amazing. They were like, mommy, mommy, daddy. And like, it was just awesome. So that experience is amazing. So I don't usually like staying in people's houses that I don't really know, but I actually would do it again every day. They were just amazing people. And so I'll tell you the funny stuff that happened. So I will say this first and foremost, I couldn't wait to say this to everybody in the United States. I went to Ireland and I had some good crack. I had great crack in Ireland. So much crack. I mean, the whole time.
I'm going to leave it
there. It was amazing. I had crack the whole time with Irish people all over North and South. They know how to handle the crack.
Yeah.
So, and I have to, of course, explain now what I mean by that.
Uh-huh. You can just leave it.
Have you ever seen like Irish stuff in like pubs where it says C-R-A-I-C? It looks like it says crake. So it's crack. And that's when they say they're having a great time, right, they say that's some good crack.
Yeah.
And so I had some good crack. It was great crack. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So that was amazing. I couldn't wait to say it. And and here's what's interesting.
Somebody's
too.
Somebody's going to take that out of context.
I know. And it's okay. Sinner's going to sin. So so from north to south, like the accents change. I learned this, that even Irish people from some parts of Ireland have a difficulty understanding other Irish people from different parts with like a different thicker accent.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like...
Well, that happens here too.
It does.
Like, have you ever met someone with just like such a southern accent that you're like, I don't even.
Marcus? You're talking about Marcus.
Well, you want to get that border
chat? We have television shows where people need to be subtitled here, but they're speaking English.
Right. Yeah. We do have some Marcus says to get to, but continue.
Oh, good. Yes, we do. Okay, so I'm leaving Dublin on Tuesday, and over the intercom, this guy with the thickest Irish accent keeps talking, and it is killing me because he's so thick. He says, 33, like he's saying 33 over and over and over, like get to gate 33, but he was saying 33 the whole time as I was dying. Also, I learned that if you have a really thick accent in Ireland, at least Jono says that you're full of teat. Teeth, I guess. Oh, teeth. Okay. You're full of teeth if you have a really thick accent.
Okay.
That guy's full of teat. Full of teat. Okay. So I learned that. Now let me tell you.
Other people that don't have a thick accent, are they missing teeth? Is that?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what it means. Jono, you have to maybe explain that. I know he says that him and his friends would say.
Well, I would think like your mouth is so full of teeth that your words aren't.
I guess that's what it is.
Clear.
He's full of teat. Okay.
That would just be my...
Now, assumption. This is the epic moment, okay? So, first of all, like, they're not a gun culture. So, like, they can't have their own guns and everything else. And they got weird laws about self-defense. I mean, very strange laws. Raquel was telling me she works for a legal firm. And the stuff that people get in trouble there, like, if you walk into somebody's house and to burglarize it and you trip on their rug, like, you can sue them because you tripped on their rug while you were trying to burglarize their house and you injured yourself. And she said that, like, and Jono and Raquel said, like, if you were attacked in your home and you ended up killing the intruder after they attacked you and burglarized you, you could get in trouble in Ireland for that. So I don't really understand all this. And I'm talking about sanctification in Colossians 3, where the Apostle Paul says to mortify your sin, to kill your sin. John Owen, be killing sin, or sin will be killing you.
I was wearing that shirt earlier.
That's right. So, I mean, that's like, you know, Christian doctrine. Like, you kill your sin. Paul says that. So I'm talking to this room full of teenagers. I mean, for their conference, it's packed out. And I'm talking about sanctification and mortification of sin. Kill your sin. So I bring up an example, an illustration. I said, like, imagine everybody, if somebody was breaking in your house at 1 a.m, I said, hey, like happened to me a couple weeks ago. At 2 a.m, I wake up because somebody is literally grabbing my handle and throwing their body against my door, which leads to the backyard. And, I said, I got up and I grabbed my gun, and everybody's face, you should have seen their faces. Their faces like completely shifted, like, I grabbed his gun. Like, I'm like, wait, this is not the reaction I was looking for. And I'm going to grab my gun. And I said, and what was I going to do, everybody? Like, if this intruder came in to injure my wife, I said, what was I going to do? And everyone's just like waiting for me to say the answer. And I go, I was going to kill him. And they were like, oh, they all grabbed their faces. They were like, oh, he's a murderer. He's a murderer.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was like, this isn't going as well as I thought it was going to go. So definitely cultural, like, you know, barriers. But here was the epic moment.
They do dial 911.
Yeah, I think it's like 999 or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So here, yeah, I have a sign on my gate that says it's a gun and it says we don't dial 911 because I wouldn't. I would shoot you first, just so you know. So anyway, welcome back to America, Jeff. I'm allowed to talk like this. So this was the epic moment. I don't even know if you guys know this. I occasionally will gorge myself on videos of psychics getting exposed. So like psychics.
I love doing that.
Yes. Do you seriously?
It's the best.
It's the most amazing thing.
I'm obsessed with it.
I can't even believe we haven't talked about this. I do it all the time.
Me too.
I watch
at least once a week. I'm like,
how did we
I
not
need
know
to do
this
some
about
research
each other?
On mediums and psychics?
How did know this about each other? I do it. I watch mediums and psychics getting exposed on television where they come in to do news interviews and they try to get things right and they fail utterly. Right. Or like, what's it called? Randy? What's his name? James Randy, oh, I think his name is, where he exposes mediums and psychics and shows their frauds.
Like intentionally do it.
So that morning, Sage and I had a long day before that. And that morning I had gotten up and I was watching, and Sage was watching it with me. I was watching psychics getting refuted, right? For like an hour, and he's laughing, I'm laughing. So I'm trying to talk to everybody about the fact that God tells us about false prophets, that they have to be able to tell you the future and get it right every single time, and that charlatans and con artists are constantly getting it wrong. So then I said to everybody, here it is, guys. Sage said he was more uncomfortable in this moment than he's ever been. I say to this room that's packed to the brim with people, I say, I have to confess something, guys. I said, related to the psychic stuff and false prophecies, I said, I have sort of a, call it a perverse fetish. I watch online videos of psychics getting spanked.
Oh my gosh. Why did you say that?
I just said, hey, what's happening here?
I'm so glad
guess
I was
what just what? What's, guess what just came in?
Is that a puppy?
It is a puppy.
What is this thing?
It's Joy's birthday.
Oh my God.
And Marcus organized puppies, like a zoo to come in.
There's goats?
Baby goats.
Oh my God.
Puppies. It's Joy's birthday. And Marcus organized, oh my goodness.
Did you hear the noise?
We just brought in
How many animals has she right now?
How many can she get at once?
Oh, like she's like, how many can you pile on me? Oh, it just made a noise.
It's so cute.
And right now what I'm looking at, guys, is a baby goat and a puppy being held by Joy. Happy birthday, Joy.
Oh my gosh.
Mark has organized a petting zoo to come in.
What?
Yes.
How many animals are there?
I have no idea.
He has no idea.
I told him not.
Oh! Oh my gosh!
Are these the screaming goats?
More
these are the
coming.
Best.
I hope the audio is picking up all these animal noises right now.
Think.
So is this like a what is it? What kind of dog is this? Is it
golden retriever?
Golden retriever.
Yeah.
And look, it's a baby goat.
What is this?
And
baby
we have
goats and ducks. We have ducks.
Baby ducks.
Baby ducks. Baby ducks. So what we're gonna do, guys? We're gonna take a break here and let Joy play with the animals for her birthday. Happy birthday, Joy!
Happy birthday, Joy!
Happy birthday from Marcus. All right, guys, be right back. ApologiaRadio.com. While Joy has a duck placed on the table. What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at ApologiaRadio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes
today. ApologiaRadio.com.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. David Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com.
Super sweet. Amazing. We had an actual mini farm brought to us, in a way. Baby ducks, baby goats, and a little puppy. It was actually really neat because the ducks, one of them was born yesterday. Two were born 2 days ago, and then the baby goat was born on Monday. So these are like days old. And how was it? How was it for you? Good?
It was amazing.
Do you love it?
Marcus for the win.
Good job, Marcus. That was actually a really creative birthday present. Yeah.
So
Summer was part of it, kind of.
Yeah, Summer had a hard time actually containing herself, and she almost blew the lid off of the thing.
You know, I wasn't born yesterday, but that duck was.
Whack.
I wasn't born yesterday. I was born today. On this day.
Let's leap right back into it. We actually are going to touch some important current events that have happened over the last week and a half or so. We're going to talk about Tommy Lauren from The Blaze talking about abortion on The View and saying that she is conservative, and because of that position, she can hold to a pro-choice position, which is really interesting because it was just really not that long ago that she was calling abortion murder. And so we'll do that. We're also going to talk about the new Supreme Court justice nominee, his confirmation hearing, Neil Gorsuch. He made some interesting comments. We're going to talk about that, and we'll see what we have time for. Maybe we'll talk a little bit of a justification through faith alone and Christ alone, seeing as the Mormon temple evangelism is right before us. It's about to take place. But to wrap up what I said before we were interrupted by the animals. And by the way, atheism is just stupid. When you hold these ducks in your hands and these goats, and you know, I was about to eat food. I didn't want to get like the germs on me.
I don't want to get the duck flu.
You did pet the dog, though.
I did pet the dog. That's true.
What's the difference?
That tells you how I feel about goats.
They're so cute.
They were very cute.
Did you hear the noises they made?
Yes, I think everyone heard the noises they make. Yeah, hopefully. So anyway, to wrap up what I was saying. I'm standing before an Irish audience, and I said something that I think, in the context of how it was said, would be understood by every American. Trust me, the way that I said it, it was not weird, but I immediately looked at everyone's faces, and they just broke out in laughter, and I was like, wait, there's a bit of a language barrier here. I said, what I mean is, I watch YouTube videos of psychics being refuted. How's that? Does that sound a little better than perverse fetish, like, watching online videos of psychics being spanked?
I think the way you set it up was just cruising. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Fetish. And
I think it would have sounded weird here, too.
I'll admit when I'm wrong, and I think maybe I could have said it better. Okay. So I won't use that stream of words again.
Use fetish and spanking the same.
Even if it's completely pure. Completely pure. All right. So speaking of saying strange things, let's do a moment of Marcus Says. And okay. If you're new to Apologia Radio, Apologia in general, you should know about Marcus King Ginger Pittman, that we love him. He's amazing. And we each, I think every one of us have interesting things about us, ways that we are. And Marcus has a way about him of taking normal words and turning them into a mess. And so, like on a recent episode of Apologia Radio, you may remember hearing the King, Ginger, actually talking about a famous man in history who put Jesus on trial and wiped his hands of it. And you remember, of course, Potnoose Pilate. Potnoose. Woo! Potnoose Pilate. So anyway, I will leave it to you, Bear.
Okay, so this comes from a discussion of Beauty and the Beast, which we can discuss if you guys want. So we were talking about that film and how there's a lot of really stupid Christians that are saying it's bestiality.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I'm holding back. Okay. So there's
he's like, no, I am reserving.
Yeah, I am holding back.
And so Marcus says, well, that's not bestiality because the beast was created in Imago Dei.
Imago Dei.
And it was funny.
That's right.
And he kept talking about the Imago Dei, and every time he said it, Joy and I laughed harder and harder. And then finally he goes, yeah, I know I didn't say it right. And he just kept talking about the Imago Dei.
He's like, you're not going to stop my flow. Yeah. I'm going to continue this conversation.
What was the one he just said a few
minutes ago? Oh, I don't know. I missed it.
Did he do something else?
He said some word.
I was talking about Super Mario.
Oh, Mario.
Super Mario.
Mario. And I said
bro.
It was a mixture of Mario and Mori.
Yeah.
Mario Povich.
Right? Mario Povich.
Super Mario Brothers. Hey, that's Super Mario Brothers, eh?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to see if we can peel some more layers off this onion that we've been talking about. Okay, so I was telling Summer about him saying Imago Dei.
Right.
So, Marcus, I need some participation here.
Okay.
So, she was telling us that you say another word that's weird, and she was trying to get you to say it. What is that game that rich people play on the grass where they hit the ball with a stick?
Oh, that's crochet.
Crochet.
Yeah.
Crochet!
Now, the best part of that story is that croquet is not even the word Summer was trying to get you to say.
That wasn't even it.
Oh.
There's the one that's on TV all the time.
Is it polo?
No. The one that Tiger Woods played.
Oh, that's golf.
Marcus! Polo!
You kind of said it right that time.
Right. Anyway, we had heard we heard from Carmen that you say
golf.
Oh, yeah, golf.
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 G-O-F-F. Golf. Yeah. So I just go play some golf.
So crochet. Let me get my crochet mallet.
She just came back in. She went and asked him, and then she just came back in here, and she's like, I didn't hear him say it, because all I got to was crochet.
Nice.
So, yeah. I'm gonna make a scarf with my crochet mallet.
All right, guys. Here we go. Let's get into the conversation. Thank you for the Marcus says. Marcus, keep them coming.
Okay.
All right. So Tommy,
he's like, will do.
Yeah, will do.
Life.
You got it, boss. All right. So Tommy Lauren, you might recognize her from The Blaze. She has. She's kind of a newcomer. She hasn't been around for that many years, but she does commentary on The Blaze. A lot of people have made comments about Tommy Lauren in terms of, you know, just not overall completely consistent thinking and just, you know, yeah, but she's hated and loved, you know.
Is it bad to say she's not very smart?
I guess that's what I'm trying to get at is she's people say not very bright.
Could you say what Glenn Beck said about her?
Yes, please. I mean, she works for him, right?
Glenn Beck said, you know, you can't have a platform like that and get your news and information from Twitter and Facebook.
Okay, say that again. Okay, say it again.
Glenn Beck was talking about Tommy Lauren?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was Lauren.
Yeah. Lauren.
I don't even know how to say it.
No, so I've heard it pronounced a few
I don't
different
trust
ways.
My own pronunciation,
yeah.
So.
Joy, how do we say her name?
Well, anyway, Glenn Beck was talking about this incident, and he was saying, he was obviously disagreeing with her and saying that you can't get, if you have this platform that she does, you can't get your news and information from Facebook and Twitter.
Very good.
So he was saying that her arguments are just you know,
terrible.
Yeah.
And she works for not him, well right? thought
out. Yes.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. She's not suspended, anymore. Right?
She's suspended for a week.
Well, and
so she can figure out where to get her news sources from.
Well, and she also, from what I understand, I did see a news report on this that she is scheduled to be the next commentator on Fox News. And so I think she was moving anyways from The Blaze to Fox News. At least that's what I've been told.
I don't know if
that's what I was told. I don't know if that's going to work out anymore, but that's what I saw a whole news thing on it that she was next up to bat.
That CNN?
Nobody likes her. Like even conservative.
Very fake news told you that?
Well, yeah, very fake news. I got it from fake news. We know it's true. So anyway, let's go ahead and play this clip of, I'm just going to say Tommy, or is it Tomy?
Hashtag Tommy.
That's what I want to say is Tommy. But then I was thinking today, I want to just say Tommy, but spell it with a Y and I and an E. Remember the group Tony back
Yes,
then?
Yes,
that's
I
what
do.
Every time I see her name, that's what I think of.
All right, here we go.
The pro-choicers are supposed to be about rare and safe abortions. That's how they avoid sounding like straight-up baby killers, by acknowledging abortion is not a positive thing and a difficult choice. Then we have Lena freaking Dunham out there wishing she could have murdered a fetus. Wishing for the option to kill your child doesn't exactly say much about the cause, her character, or the pro-choice movement. Now I'm
Okay, so let's can we just play it again just
okay,
for a second?
Just
let's
play it.
I'm gonna play it one more time to make sure we're hearing correctly. Okay.
Pro-choicers are supposed to be about rare and safe abortions. That's how they avoid sounding like straight-up baby killers, by acknowledging abortion is not a positive thing and a difficult choice.
Okay, so good. I mean, that's actually really, really important to talk about. The left side of the party, liberals will say we are for safe and legal abortion, and this is really, really important in terms of getting to the bottom of this. Why do you need to talk about something as necessary to be safe and legal if it's not a moral problem, if it's not a moral issue, if it's not a human being? What's the point of saying safe and legal? Now, everyone who's listening right now, think about how that is kicked around. This is just the rhetoric of the left and the liberal agenda, humanists, secularists use this kind of argumentation when they talk about murdering a child. They say we are for safe and legal abortions. And we want them to be rare, safe, and legal. That's actually the three things: rare, safe, and legal. And you have to ask the question, why use that terminology? If it's not a human being, if it's not a baby, if this isn't murder, if it's not a moral issue, why say safe, legal, and rare? I mean, really, think about it. Do you talk that way about appendix removal? Mm. I mean, I want it to be safe, but why do you have to mention that? Of course I want my appendix to be removed in a safe way. Why do we need to say rare? Okay. I don't want appendix, I don't want them to burst. Yeah. Do we talk that way legal? Like, why would we need to talk about removing an appendix and having it be a legal operation? Why? Or how about, do we talk the way about bunions and warts? Do we use that language, safe, legal, and rare? No, you don't, because there's no need. It's presupposed safe, legal, and rare. But the only reason you need to say safe, legal, and rare regarding abortion is because you have to essentially not sound like a baby murderer, like Tommy says. I won't use your last name here. I don't want to butcher it. And so consider that. That's actually a pretty decent argument. I think it's important, and I'm glad she brings it up here.
Then we have Lena freaking Dunham out there wishing she could have murdered a fetus. Wishing for the option to kill your child doesn't exactly say much about the cause, her character, or the pro-choice movement.
So murder a fetus, kill your child. Okay. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand why so many conservatives, you know, they listen to you and they might say, hey, you know, even if I don't like a lot of the things she says, good stuff. Hey, I want you representing. Good. If you're going to be a symbol around that. I'm glad to have you as a symbol. Say, if you're going to call it murder, if you're going to diss their argumentation, you're going to unpack it and show it for the futility that it is. Right on. And then
The wheels fall off.
And then we have this recent comment when Tommy was on The View.
No, I'm pro-choice, and here's why. I am a constitutional, you know, someone that loves the Constitution. I am someone that's for limited government, and so I can't sit here and be a hypocrite and say I'm for limited government, but I think that the government should decide what women do with their bodies. I can sit here and say that as a Republican. And
Wait. Can we talk about how poor this argumentation is just for a second here?
Yes.
When you say I'm a constitutionalist, I'm a strict constitutionalist, I love the Constitution, I'm for limited government, and therefore I'm for a woman's right to choose, it's mind-boggling because nobody thinks or should think anyways rationally, in terms of rational thinking, that constitutionalism and limited government means a lack of morality.
Right.
That's really, really important. When someone says, I'm for small government, which, by the way, I think everyone at this table is for small government and the guy in the other room. When we say, which is so weird doing this without Marcus in view, he's like, he could be literally in Australia right now. but when someone says, I'm a constitutionalist, I want small government, which is what we would say, we want small governments, we don't mean by that that therefore there is no such thing as morality. And neither did the people who framed the Constitution when they were talking about things like limited government, and when they talk about restriction on powers and a checking of powers, they didn't mean in any way that there are no moral standards, which, by the way, gets us to an important presuppositional point, and that is that there must be an objective standard outside of ourselves, outside of our government, outside of our society that we all look to and say this is the objective standard. And this is one of the failures of the libertarian movement. This needs to be talked about for a second. Libertarianism can talk about a lot of really, really important things and say things like limited government, constitutional restrictions, those sorts of things. Now, everyone follow me. You may say, this is not important to me. I don't care about these things. It matters a great deal. Okay, now this is really important. The reason I think that most libertarians fail in terms of being elected is because they fail when it comes to morality. Mm. They say we want limited government, we want to restrict government power, and then people start asking deeper questions, more meaningful questions about, okay, what do we do about this social issue? What do we do about justice here and injustice there? What do we do about this moral issue? The libertarians will say, well, we just want the government out of it. No, the government, small government, limited government, no morality. Ultimately, they get to, well, no morality. And that's why many Christians have a hard time identifying themselves as libertarian, because the libertarian candidates will go and say small government, constitutional, and Christians go, yay, I guess I'm libertarian. And then those same libertarian leaders go, and abortion and same-sex unions and all these things because we want limited government. It's like, wait a second. Those things, small government and morality, can actually go together, which, by the way, gets us to the point. You cannot have a society that bases morality upon the people of that time, what they happen to believe, or what the government dictates. There must be an objective standard that is over and above, resting above the people and the government.
Right.
And they all point to and appeal to. Now watch. This is really important. The Muslims, you can't fault them. I was talking to my son Sage we had lots of time to talk on the trip to Ireland and back and everything. And there, I was talking to my son Sage about what's going on in London, because, you know, here we are in Ireland, and in Ireland, not a lot of mosques, but England, Europe is being overrun by many mosques and Muslims growing and everything else. And we were watching a news report, guys, about these Muslims in London saying bluntly and directly, we want Sharia law in London. That's where we're going. That's what's going to happen. This one imam was on Fox News with Sean Hannity, and he was saying, we will institute Sharia law in Europe and in the United States. He says, it's coming to a town near you. And what I said to Sage was, I said, you can't fault them. Now, they got a wrong God, a wrong gospel. All of it is totally opposed to Jesus Christ. But you cannot fault the Muslim for being consistent with their principles. And what is that? They say Allah is God. Mm-hmm. And so if Allah is God, listen to his voice. That's what they believe, right? So what am I getting at? The atheist says in their society, Demas is God. The people is God. We have the final voice. And so listen to the people. The Christian will say what? Hopefully not Demas. The Christian is not supposed to say, well, society determines or government determines. A Christian is supposed to say, if we're consistent, it's because Jesus says. Mm-hmm. That's our ultimate standard. Now, if Allah says it's this way, follow Allah. If Jesus says it's this way, follow Jesus. And where the failure is seen most clearly in not having the Bible as the ultimate standard, watch, it's right here in this popular conservative commentator who, watch, may say things that Christians go, yay and amen, but as soon as she doesn't stand on the Bible, I don't know where she's at in terms of where, if she's a believer or what, but as soon as you see it not standing on the Bible, she says what about morality? Well, you know, limited government, so you can't tell anybody what to do. I'll bet you if I ask Tommy, you want limited government? Yes. So how about pederasty?
Yep.
How about rape? How about murder? I bet you in all those areas, she would say, oh, no, pederasty. No, that the government has to restrict that. Oh, really? How about same-sex unions. Where do we draw the line now where you start saying that government is allowed to say something, and now there's where you'll find her ultimate standard. There's where you'll find it. And just last thing I'll say, Marcus, I want to hear what you have to say. We just did a radio show or TV show with Billy Hollowell, and he wrote a book called Fault Line. I haven't got a chance to read the whole book yet. I'm not giving my endorsement completely, okay, because I haven't read the book yet. And so I just want to tell you, one of the encouraging things about what Billy said is that Christians have got to start getting involved in journalism, the media, films, and TVs and TV shows, because if we don't start engaging in these arenas, then the truth is lost. We're not sharing the truth.
Right.
And someone like Tommy, great. At one point she said it was murder, but now she's saying that ultimately it's not murder. And the reason why, dun, 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 I wish I had a drum roll thing here, is because she's not standing on the word of God. And what we need is a, great, fine, let's say it. We need a beautiful, brilliant, bright, intelligent, rigorous woman who actually stands on the scriptures and engages these issues in the same way. Marcus?
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, she claims to be libertarian, and Glenn Beck called her out on Twitter this week and said, you know, supporting Trump care, supporting all the things that Trump supports, you're not a libertarian.
Does she really?
Yeah, that's what she claims to be small government.
Right.
So yeah, Beck called her out on her whatever her thing was. This is an interesting thing from Glenn Beck's show. I'll read the transcript. It says, "The problem here with all of society, too much is about me, 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 me. The Blaze cannot be about me, 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 me. Media should not be about me, 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 me. It's no secret Tommy and I don't agree quite a lot, but this is about personalities. The ideas are what is important, and if you cannot defend the idea, no matter which side you're on, if you cannot defend the idea, that leads to the second part of the discussion, which is the people calling for Tommy to be fired. That's not for you to call. That's not appropriate to be discussed on the radio. That's in the privacy of the office of the Blaze."
I find it strange, funny that this is an employee that works for him. I know she's suspended, but he's like having Twitter wars with her.
Yeah. Well,
like, what is going
on
here?
This isn't the first time. Like, somebody, she said something the other day, like several weeks ago, and somebody called Glenn Beck out on Twitter and was like, you know, you have to deal with her. And Glenn Beck retweeted it, and all he said was, "I know."
That's when you pull someone into your office and say, "Hey, we need to have a discussion."
Yeah, I think he's been waiting for the right time. Oh. And her contract's up in September, which is probably why she switched to pro-choice so conveniently.
Right.
And was I think she was auditioning for The View.
Interesting.
But, oh, she would fit in well on The View.
She would fit very well on The View. That's the only place I could see her going that would make sense.
Yeah.
And that's not a compliment for The View.
No. Matthew 7, Jesus says that there's a fool and a wise man, and there is a rock and there is sand. Ultimately, he's teaching there, and he says that one ends in desolation when the storm comes, and one will make it through the storm. And that needs to be considered. You know, when they heard Jesus say that, they said he speaks as one having authority. They caught it instantly that he has the authority to say that. If anybody else would say something like that, it would be so haughty, so prideful, and just something so despicable. And you would, I hope you'd walk out of the room if any preacher or senator or president said something like that. Like, all of life is boiled down to fools and wise people, rock and sand, and it's going to depend on whether or not you base it upon my word. Now, that's the rock. And when you have someone like Tommy, who is speaking out on conservative issues and issues that Christians oftentimes really want to hear about, and they want to see someone standing up for, you know, you have someone like that who's not standing on the rock. Ultimately, you just watched her I spent too much time in Ireland. You just watched her house fall down is what you saw. That's what it is. And so it really shouldn't be too much of a shock to see someone act so inconsistently. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that Christians don't disagree on things and we don't have squabbles in our communities and those sorts of things. Of course we do. But you know what? Not really over the big things. Because when you disagree on the big things, like the essentials, well, it exposes whether or not you actually believe the Bible and love God. And Christians have disagreements on adiaphora, side issues, right? We do have disagreements, and we go to the mat with each other and those sorts of things. But when it comes to foundational issues, like what is the ultimate authority? I mean, it ought to be Well, because God says for all of us. And so you could solve the problem of libertarianism and morality if you're a libertarian, I think, with libertarian ideas, which are basically biblical ideas, and the Word of God. Because then you have a standard of morality, a basis for truth and objectivity that exists outside of yourself, and there's where she fails. And I think, by the way, that's where you're going to see people tossed about like a ship on a rough sea. You're going to see them like in their careers or whatever going back and forth and back and forth and flip-flopping when they don't stand on the Word of God because there's no rock, nothing. And that's what you have. I just think that it's obvious that that has to happen when a person doesn't stand on Scripture. So with that, let's take a quick break, and we're going to actually talk about a rather important issue here. We have the new Supreme Court Justice nominee had his confirmation hearing. It looked like it was pretty grueling, actually. You got a feel for the guy. Man, it was going on for like days. I mean, that's pretty intense. So Neil Gorsuch, and he made some comments that are concerning to a lot of people who stand for the lives of these preborn children.
It's Gorsuch.
Gorsuch.
Wow, Marcus just corrected you on
that. Had to get it in.
And so we're gonna play through some of those clips. We're gonna talk a bit about this, and then hopefully we'll see how much time we have left. We'll see if we can do a little bit on justification today through faith alone in Christ alone. Be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com. Don't forget, when you go to ApologiaRadio.com, if you sign up for All Access, you get access to all of our TV shows, the after shows, and you get all the Apologia Academy training, the worldview training. It's fantastic for homeschoolers. It's fantastic for college students and just families to get around some great teaching. And when you guys partner with us as a ministry, you make everything we do possible, including some things that are coming very, very soon, where we're going to engage the culture, hopefully in a very meaningful way and very powerful way. So stay with us, guys. Be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
Beauties and beasts, I have some good news for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles. Not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on the lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlyhood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA, and you can save some money while you save your face.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
All right, y'all. So we are in some interesting times. Wanted to mention Northern and Southern Ireland. I was told while I was there that abortion is against the law, and same-sex unions are not legal either, which is really interesting. God has had mercy on Ireland, both the North and the South, because all the places around them have abortion and same-sex marriage, and they're seen as like backwards and like, why aren't you guys getting with the times? So God has shown mercy to them. However, pray for Ireland, because I learned while I was there that despite the fact that, and by the way, abortion is actually technically legal there because they're allowed to have the pill. No surgical abortions,
right,
essentially. But I learned that they just had a change in their legislature. And mostly people from the left have gotten in there now, and they know that their days are numbered in terms of where they're at today with abortion. And so I just try to encourage the church there, stand up. You have to fight and do everything you can to preach the truth in the midst of child sacrifice and the murder of children. And so do it. Do everything that is within you to fight against something like that taking place. It would be such an awful, awful thing. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I bring that up is because these moments are big moments. I mean, did anybody really understand in 1973 when Roe v. Wade was decided, did anyone really understand what was in store for us? That we would be 2017 with over 3,000 babies a day slaughtered, 60 million babies deep. Did anybody have any ability to see that? No, I don't think anybody could even understood that. And so these moments that we have in the world are under the sovereign control of God. He's in control of it. But when these things take place, it's judgment upon any nation that God actually allows this to take place. But these are big moments that are life-altering moments. Can I tell you how life-altering? And by the way, we didn't even talk about this yet, guys. Amazing. Life-altering in the sense that, here's an example. If you look at our Facebook page, Apologia Radio, we've shared a picture just this past week of a pastor in Tennessee that I have never heard from before, not that I know of, who started a ministry to the abortion mill in his area as a result of listening to Apologia Radio. And he shared a picture of him holding a baby. It was the first one that he saved. He said he saved 112 babies.
In a year.
112 babies in a year. So how life-altering are these little moments? They're huge.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, these are 112 babies, human beings that are alive today because of a person that started a ministry to the abortion mill. You know, these things matter a lot. They change history, okay? From our perspective, they change the world. And so here's another life-altering one. We have a new Supreme Court justice nominee confirmation hearing. Judge Gorsuch, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Gorsuch. And he had his confirmation hearing, and he was asked a ton of questions regarding Roe v. Wade. Why so many questions on Roe v. Wade? Well, it's because Donald Trump promised throughout his campaign, especially near the end there, that he was going to make sure that Roe versus Wade was overturned. And so all of the people on the left, all the people that hate God, all the people that don't care about these children are really concerned that they're going to lose their sacred right of abortion. And so they're really concerned because he's apparently a pro-life judge. I don't know a lot about him, but he's Trump's pick. Trump said that he was going to work to end abortion in our nation and ultimately said at one point criminalize it. Now, I just want to say before we even play this is really, really important. I want to ask all of our listeners to consider for a moment, what does our founding documents, what do they say about who creates law in these United States? It says that the power to create law is in the hands of the Congress, not the Supreme Court. And so from our perspective, Roe v. Wade is a legal fiction. It had no ability to subvert the laws in the states that protect the lives of these children. And because that you can't legislate from the bench. That's in the power of the Congress. And so Roe versus Wade has no power to overturn the state law in Texas or Arizona or any other state that criminalizes abortion.
Right.
Now, however, pro-life groups always say, and I had a conversation last year with a woman who is very, very powerful politically, in charge of a group in Arizona that's considered a Christian lobbyist group. And I had a conversation with her, and she said that their method is to go after Roe v. Wade, get pro-life judges on the court so the pro-life judges overturn Roe versus Wade. I said, I think that is wrong-headed. It gives the impression that Roe versus Wade has the ability to subvert the laws of the state, and it doesn't. It is a legal fiction. It is based upon false premise that the life in the womb is potential human life. It is not potential human life. It is biologically an irrefutable fact. It is not potential human life. It is human life from conception, its own unique DNA, its own blood type, many times different from the mother's, a distinct heartbeat, different from the mother's. It is a human being at conception. Can't argue that point. Roe versus Wade is utterly ridiculous in terms of law. Now, however, Donald Trump says, I'm going to install this pro-life judge. Pro-life movement says, this is the way to go. Well, now we've got his confirmation hearing, and I want you to hear some of the things that he said. This is a popular clip being kicked around right now where Judge Gorsuch said that if Donald Trump had told him he wanted him to overturn Roe versus Wade, he would have walked out the door.
You are not an unfit person. I don't think there's any reason to suggest that you're his favorite. Had you ever met President Trump personally?
Not until my interview.
In that interview, did he ever ask you to overrule Roe v. Wade?
No, Senator.
What would he have done if he'd asked?
Senator, I would have walked out the door. It's not what judges do. Okay. They don't do it at that end of Pennsylvania Avenue, and they shouldn't do it at this end either, respectfully.
So, obviously, it will concern pro-life
right
proponents, because you have a man that people have said is to be feared because he's pro-life and now he's a judge, and Trump wants to overturn Roe versus Wade. He's installed people that are going to do that. Now, that's, watch, this is what's important here. Trump said at the end of the last debate, I believe it's near the end there, with Hillary Clinton, he said, when he was asked specifically about Roe versus Wade, he said he was going to install judges that it would naturally be overturned. So that's a campaign promise. And now he's got the guy that he's installing there, who's at his confirmation hearing, and he's being asked, did Trump talk to you about that?
Right.
And he says no. So honestly, let me just say this, and there's more to say here. I'm going to play a clip that I think will probably more back up Gorsuch here in terms of supporting the fact that he's just trying to follow the law. It doesn't mean that he's not going to actually overturn it.
Right.
But here's the thing.
Yeah, can I talk about that?
Yeah, I want you to talk about that. Wait, right. But can I just say real fast? When he says, no, Trump didn't talk to me about that, can I just say that I think that that's odd that he didn't?
Right.
Because didn't Trump make a campaign promise that he was going to do that? Now, you might say, yeah, but legally he can't, and that's not how judges operate. And okay, I grant that. Positive argument, and maybe I'll accept that. But can I just say that I do think it's a little odd that Trump didn't talk to him about it? Because he made a campaign promise that he was going to do that? So I make a promise, I'm going to do this, here's the judge I picked, and you didn't talk to him about it? Why would that be? I just think that it shows something that ought to cause a little bit of concern as to whether or not Donald Trump is going to keep his promises. Marcus?
Well, I was watching another part where he was actually being questioned by Al Franken.
Yes.
And it wasn't about abortion. It was about his opinion of Obama's nominee that never got a hearing. And he was asking I think it was along the lines of if it was fair that he didn't get a hearing and what did you think of him? And Gorsuch responded that he is not there to give his personal opinions on things during the confirmation. And he said that, you know, there's 50% of people that agree with Obama and 50% of people that agree with Trump. And so if I give my personal opinion on something, then, you know, I'm putting myself out there when the only thing that matters is what the law says. And so I think every time he's asked a question, he's not answering the question according to his position, like what he personally believes or what he thinks the Constitution should be. I think he's arguing, and I'm not a Supreme Court guy, and so this is just like, I'm just hoping.
No, I get it. Yeah. No.
So I think what he's doing is, you know, when he's asked, you know, is Roe v. Wade the law of the land? And he goes, yes, it's the law of the land. That's a factual statement, and that's not his personal opinion.
Yes. No. I think
like all the, like that dude is smart.
Yes. So I understand the flow of that argument, but I think that I do want to talk about this, and I think we'll all agree on this. This gets to the core of what we just talked about last segment in terms of ultimate standards and what you're standing
right
on.
Yeah.
Because you see what I do not believe, and I don't think any of us should ever accept, is that law is neutral.
Right.
Okay. All law.
That's what's so interesting about the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Nominations anyway, because they're asking him religious questions and
yes,
stuff.
Why would you do questions? That? They're all religious questions.
Yeah.
Law is not neutral. It's not neutral. It comes from the voice of an ultimate standard. And so that standard is supposed to exist outside of ourselves. It's supposed to be an objective standard that is true whether we like it or not, whether we have feelings that favor it or dislike. It's true whether we exist or not. In other words, an objective standard is true whether I have ever personally believed it, accepted it, followed it, or whether or not I'm breathing. An objective standard exists outside of myself. And what I don't like is a judge is a judge saying something that makes law sound like it is not objective. And I don't like a judge acting in any way like law is arbitrary and law should ultimately change over time. I think that a judge ought to have firm convictions about what an ultimate standard is. And by the way, if you say, well, that's just not practical and, you know, just really wouldn't work that way, well, can I suggest to you that our Supreme Court was laid down and given to us by, say, a guy named John Jay? And when John Jay ruled and pointed to things, he pointed to the Word of God.
Right.
Is it possible to be a Supreme Court justice and be a Christian who stands firmly on the convictions that the Bible is the Word of God and it's the ultimate standard? Well, hey, if you like the Supreme Court, our first Supreme Court justice was John Jay, and he did just that.
I'll just say this, that I think if I was a Supreme Court justice and I was having a confirmation, I would just Rahab those questions.
Rahab them?
Yeah. Yeah, because they're asking you essentially if there are Jews in your house.
Yeah.
All of those questions are there Jews in your house?
That's
every
an
one of them.
Take, yeah.
And it's I'd be like, oh, no, not at all. You know, and then I would get confirmed and I would absolutely. So, and, you know, when the specific question he was asked was, would you overturn Roe v. Wade? Well, he can't. But he can hear a new case that would overturn Roe v. Wade.
Okay, interesting.
So
maybe he's Neil Rahab. Yeah. Judge Rahab.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So he can't just go and say, all right, guys, we're gonna put Roe v. Wade back on trial. He can't do that. He can't overturn Roe v. Wade. But if there was, you know, some legislation that made abortion illegal in a state and that was brought before him, then he could overturn Roe v. Wade.
Okay, but now I hear all that. Now, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, now I hear your argument, and I'm willing to always make sure I'm listening, and I want to be balanced, and I want to make sure that I always let people speak for themselves, and I want to have integrity as a person who examines arguments and making sure that I'm responding to a person's argument and position and not a caricature. Okay? I don't want a straw man. I don't want to obfuscate. I don't want to put any red herrings out there. However, this is another concerning statement. Now, none of us, here's the thing, right? I'm not going to do a show giving my full opinion here and what I think is really going on because I don't know the man.
Right.
Okay, none of us know what's going on here. But let's start to talk about it. This is another concerning statement. Okay? It is very concerning.
Words matter. The judge's job is to follow the words that are in the law, not replace them with those that aren't.
No person shall be deprived of life without... Oh, I missed it. Sorry. It's a YouTube video and it's talking about the law. Nor shall any state deprive any person of life without due process of law.
There is a statement which you made in that book, which has been often quoted, and I want to make sure that I quote it accurately here today. It relates to the taking of life. And I quote... The intentional taking of human life by private persons is always wrong. That was a statement that you included in your book, correct?
I believe so.
Okay, that statement in itself is foolish. The intentional taking of life by any private person is always wrong. Really? So if somebody breaks into my house and tries to rape and murder someone in my family, and I intentionally, because believe me, I would, and I intentionally took their life, is it his position that it's wrong? This person came to, say, murder my family or murder me, and his position is that the intentional taking of another human life by any private person is what do you say, wrong?
Maybe he's Irish.
Maybe he's from Ireland. Now, let's think about that on the face of it. That's inaccurate. And again, if you had the Word of God as your standard in society and culture, you wouldn't make those claims. You would say the unjust taking of any human life is wrong.
Right.
The unjust. Was it a just taking? For example, I believe that a human being ought to, with no pity, because God commands no pity here. It's in Exodus. It's in regard to capital punishment. He says, no pity, life for life. You shall not pity them. I believe that a human being should intentionally take the life of anybody who kidnaps and rapes a little girl. Now, this is real talk right now. Okay, I understand these are, this is real talk. It's big discussion here, but the Bible teaches that. You kidnap another human being, you deserve the death penalty, and you take the life of another human being, you deserve the death penalty. And so let's say you have a person, it happens. I hate that we have to talk about it in this world, but it happens. Person who kidnaps, rapes, and murders somebody. I believe that a human being should intentionally, under the government's jurisdiction, because of a court system, because of proof, because of a jury, a trial, I believe a human being should take that person's life when the court finds them guilty. I believe that. Mm. And I don't believe it's wrong. So if Judge Gorsuch is suggesting that there's no capital punishment and no taking of any human life ever, I think that he's fundamentally flawed on that point.
So, two, how could you square that statement with legal abortion?
Senator, as the book explains, the Supreme Court of the United States has held in Roe versus Wade that a fetus is not a person for purposes of the 14th Amendment. And the book explains that.
Do you accept that?
That's the law of the land. I accept the law of the land, Senator. Yes.
Thank you for that clarification.
I don't think he gave his personal opinion on that.
He said, I accept the law of the land.
Yeah. But isn't he supposed to? That doesn't mean he's not going to overturn it, but he accepts, you know, he's not, setting abortion clinics on fire. He submits to the government righteously, and then he can work to overturn it once he's in position. I don't know. I'm not like a fan of Gorsuch or anything.
I know. I'm trying to think.
Because he never gave his exact opinion there, or he just Rahabbed it.
Hey, Marcus, it's just Rahab, y'all. I'm telling you, it's Rahab. Yeah.
Well, that's not the law of the land, though, right?
Well, yeah, we would say that.
That's the thing that makes me the most angry out of it. Is he's being nominated for the Supreme Court? He should know that's not the law, because that court decision did not determine the law. He just got done saying that in the previous
clip.
Right,
because
courts don't make laws. And now he's saying, well, that's the law of the land. No, it's not.
Courts don't make laws.
Right.
That's right.
So that's the part that infuriates me the most.
Well, excellent point, Luke. That's the part that should concern us all the most, is that he is a Supreme Court nominee. Is his confirmation done, Marcus, at this point?
Today's the last day.
Okay. So he's a Supreme Court nominee, and he doesn't seem to understand how law is made in our land.
Right.
That's concerning. Okay, so listen, I'm not saying that God's not going to strike a straight blow with a crooked stick and going to work with all this. I'm just saying this also reveals something very, very important, is that we need to understand ultimate standards. We need to understand that law is not neutral, that nobody is neutral, and I don't like to see anybody pretend neutrality. Now, listen, it might say, but he's a judge. Right, and so is John Jay. So was John Jay, our first Supreme Court justice. Mm-hmm. Look, you have a Supreme Court today. We have a Supreme Court today, right? We have that because this nation was founded, and it was founded upon certain principles, and it looked a certain way. And John Jay was our first Supreme Court justice, and he pointed to the Bible all the time. And I don't doubt that if you were to ask John Jay, who's the ultimate standard? Who's the voice of the God in this culture? I don't doubt in any way that John Jay would have pointed to the Word of God, because he did. It's on record. All you have to do is look it up. And so I don't like when somebody plays neutrality, because it ultimately does not help. Because it's a myth, and I promise you this, those other judges that are liberals that are on the Supreme Court, guess what? They don't play neutral.
Yeah.
They go out and they talk. They get, listen, don't they? Don't they go out, these Supreme Court justices, don't they go out and give talks? Aren't they activist judges? Yes. So how come is it that the so-called Christian and conservative judges have to play neutrality while the liberal judges don't play neutrality? Tell me how that got entered into the game.
I know how to turn every single one of those liberal justices pro-life.
How?
And all you got to do is make a constitutional amendment. Then they have to rule according to it. As we've been thinking about this in Abortion Now stuff for a while, and I keep thinking, like, why has the pro-life movement not tried a constitutional amendment party? Like, why haven't they really...
Actually, I think they might have. Haven't they?
don't know.
Well, they've given up if they have. They're not doing anything right now.
I don't know for sure if they have, Marcus. I'm just saying maybe they have.
Yeah, well, yeah, if they have, I mean, that's not, I mean, you know, somebody said one time, they said, if you think things are bad politically, just remember that women got the right to vote without ever casting a vote. Mm. Yeah. Right? So women were able to get a constitutional amendment without being able to vote. So it is possible, even if we don't have the votes, to be loud and to force a constitutional amendment.
Yes.
And they did that very quickly, and they did it again. The same people did it again with prohibition.
Yeah.
Mm. So if we're worried about who gets nominated and who gets selected, there's a way to veto a Supreme Court ruling, and you know, I don't feel like we've really put in the effort for that.
Right.
Well, it's because the pro-life movement has oftentimes not been concerned with ending abortion.
Oh, Marcus knows all about that.
Yeah, they're not.
They haven't been concerned with totally ending abortion. It's just regulating it. And that's not the path. That's not a consistent path to ending abortion when you fight for regulation. We're not saying we're not thankful. We've said a million times. We're not saying we're not thankful for any laws that have protected any child. So we're very thankful that God has used that to have mercy on these children. But it's not a consistent fight. We want a consistent fight that ends abortion immediately, which, by the way, brings us quickly, before we go to a break, to endabortionnow.com.
Yes.
You should go, because the website, by the time you hear this, is probably up. End Abortion Now, you can get signed up.
Registration's up. Oh, the website, yeah.
The website should be up and running by the time you hear this episode, and you can also go register for End Abortion Now, the conference. Joy, can you tell people about the conference?
Yeah, we need to talk
quickly
about that for a second anyways.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to, endabortionnow.com, obviously the whole website's not done yet, but we do have a landing page that will direct you to the details of the conference. So May 4th through 6th, there's an itinerary on there. We have some recommended nearby hotels. We have the address of where the conference is taking place. And then it will also link you to register for the conference, which you will need to do. Despite it being free, we still need to kind of... You're not technically registered until you receive a confirmation from us.
Right on.
That you are registered for the event.
Yeah, and I was going to say, we talked about this the other day. Jeff wasn't here for this conversation, but if you click that you're a pastor, you know, we've mentioned we're going to be flying pastors out here. We do have limited number of scholarships that we can provide. But we've had a lot of people that have been requesting that. And so just so everybody understands, there is a vetting process you will need to go through. And if your church is able to fund you, and we're talking $500 or $600, that's it for hotel and flight. If your church is able to fund you, please try to go that route so that we can scholarship more pastors. We just, you know, obviously it costs $250,000 to fly all these pastors out here.
Right.
So we have limited number. If you're able to do it, please do it. If not, we will make sure you are able to get out here.
Right.
So yeah, we want to talk about that because
Our intention, the whole point of the scholarships is to get people out here who are serious about doing ministry outside of Planned Parenthoods and abortion mills. So that means we obviously don't have money for everyone, but that means that some of you guys are going to have to hustle to get here. We wish we could pay for everyone,
but we don't have $1 million.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, we can't promise a scholarship to anyone at this point, but on the registration form that you find on that the End Abortion Now detail page, there will be an option for you to click if you are interested in receiving a scholarship. And like we said, maybe, you know, if you're just interested in it because it's nice to fly somewhere for free, then you may not get a scholarship, but I don't know. We just kind of have to, I'm trying to organize it so that we can spread our scholarship money as far as possible.
And across the country.
Yeah. Right.
We have thousands of dollars dedicated to the scholarships.
Right, we do.
And so, like we said, and everything we said about it, we want to fly a bunch of pastors out. and leaders. Right. And that's what we want to do. So can we just ask you that? I guess you've already said it. I'll say it. If you do have the ability to pay to come out, right, could you please do that?
Right.
So that we can actually pay for people across the country that actually can't. Right.
Or if you have a large number of people, if you come from a larger church, if you have a large number of people interested in doing the ministry, but you're heading it up, then, we're just going to say, like, just try to get out here before automatically assuming a scholarship. So you will click the little box that says I'm interested in a scholarship. And then Zach and I have formatted an email that will be sent to you just basically saying these are the terms of the scholarship, like this is what you get with it. If you're not, you'll confirm that it's all good, and then we'll start the vetting process. So we have quite a bit of work coming up to get all that stuff done, but it's fine. We want to do it. We just really want to make sure that these scholarships go to people that really can't get out here.
Also, if your church is able to even offer extra scholarships, there's plenty of churches that can afford to do that.
Right.
Please let us know. That would be awesome. Yeah. We want to get as many pastors and leaders here as we possibly can. So.
One final word is that the pro-choice advocates found out about the conference, and they're already planning protests, and they're planning to try to block us when we go and do ministry outside the abortion mills.
Right.
And so just know it's going to be very interesting.
Be fun.
It's going to be interesting when you come. We're going to have lots of opportunities to engage the opposition with the gospel, and we're going to do it together. So it's almost like a pretty amazing opportunity that God's presenting. Not only are we going to get the training and the teaching done and the fellowship and getting on the same page, but we're also going to get opportunity to put it into practice on the grounds and at the abortion clinic.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome.
Right. Also another thing about this conference is that it's an opportunity to meet people from all over the country that are about to start doing the same thing that you are. And this is the kind of ministry that it's good to have friends.
Yes.
Someone to just say, like, I had a really hard day today, or I had a really great day.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really important part of this ministry.
And there'll be people that have been doing it for a long time, too, to help you.
Right.
And you'll be able to talk to them, and they won't be ushered off into a green room and hidden away.
Right.
That's right.
And we do have, we have the basic detail page and the registration form up, but we're going to kind of fine tune that section. So you'll be able to see a few more details on there.
Good. All right, guys. So we'll take a break. Come right back, guys. Last segment, apologiaradio.com. Can I say something to everybody who gave towards End Abortion Now? We'd like to thank you guys a lot, but we want to say thank you, like, sincerely, because if you could see the kind of activity that's happening around here right now, like just today, we've got the studio filled with people working, radio shows, End Abortion Now, websites. So much is happening, and it's happening because you gave towards this mission. The conference is happening because you gave towards the mission. The fight's happening because you gave towards the mission. The stuff coming up soon is happening because you gave towards the mission. And for those of you guys that are all part of All Access, again, everything that is happening right now, you're a part of. You are legitimately a part of this ministry with us. Even if it's $7.95 a month, it goes a long way when so many of you are partnering with this ministry. So thank you very, very, very much to everybody who's part of this ministry with us. It means so much. And we know that a lot of you guys are sacrificing a lot to do that $7.95 partnership. And that actually it's considerable for your family. And we're thankful. We're all very, very thankful for it. And we're doing our best to be faithful to God and this mission and to be faithful to what you've given to make all this happen. So we're grateful. So thank you. ApologiaRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Les.
And I'm Tanner.
And we're the hosts of the Reformed Pubcast,
a weekly podcast where two friends get together and talk about the things that they love.
It's like all those times you talked about theology over a pint of beer with your friends, but we're just dumb enough to record it.
It's the Theology of Calvin and the Thirst of Luther.
Join in on the conversation by subscribing on iTunes or your favorite podcast catcher. It's the Reformed Pubcast.
All right, here we go. Before, I just got permission. So before we actually play this last clip, that I think will go a little ways of providing maybe some of his reasoning in terms of how he feels about Roe versus Wade. Got permission. We decided to go ahead and do it. We're going to go ahead and announce what is happening right now in the studio. Why are we in the writer's room? Like the old days when the studio was being built, why did Luke take down his masterpiece and why is he building another one?
That's a good question.
We told you guys, everybody, that we want to see the heart of the culture change. That can only happen through the gospel. It can only happen through the word of God. We want to have a consistent way we can actually engage the culture and the culture of death. And what we wanted to do is create a new media platform that would regularly reach out to the masses, and it would do it in a way where the Christian worldview has a platform that is consistent, that engages cultural issues broadly, but has at the heart of it the end of abortion now. And that's what we said we were going to do as one of the media strategies, is we were going to essentially flood the culture with this conversation. And we're not doing it just through this platform. There are other things we're doing as well. But this is kind of a centerpiece. We are doing a show. It's called Next Week with Jeff Durbin, and it's essentially a nighttime talk show. Luke is building a nighttime talk show set, and it's actually going to be used some of it for Apologia Radio and TV as well. But the set is under construction now. It looks beautiful. It's just going to be amazing. I can't wait to see it finished. But we're going to have a weekly talk show on Tuesday nights. Marcus, do we decide on time?
Yeah, it's going to be at 10 o'clock Eastern.
10 o'clock Eastern, which is about 7 o'clock on the West Coast. And it's going to be a show that engages the culture in the same way Apologia Radio does, but in a different format. And it's going to be a 30-minute show. And we're very, very excited about it. And we just can't wait to get it off the ground. So all this stuff's been in the background while everyone's waiting. The conference, the building of the content that we need to train you guys across the country, all the stuff that's happening, the media stuff, the legislative stuff that we have underway right now that we're working on, we're going to train you guys on as well. All that stuff has been taking place, and the show production, all of it. We have a writer for the show that is amazing. He actually wrote for Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon.
He's a Christian. He's Rusty Thomas's son's best friend.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
The connection.
Dog's owner.
The connection, yeah. We had the connections. So all this is taking place. Please continue to pray for it, because what we don't want is just to throw a show into the mix. We actually have funding that can push the content and the conversation around abortion in front of everybody. You know, you see things like BuzzFeed, HuffPo, you see these things, and you see them because guess why? Because they are paying to put it in front of you. And we have the ability now to do exactly the same thing. We're gonna do it with good quality content that engages the culture in a consistent Christian way. And Luke, why don't you talk about the studio production, man?
The set, you mean?
The set, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I did. Oh.
Wasn't prepared. It's just gonna have a totally different feel. We've worked really hard to give it depth. It's gonna have a buttload of lighting. Can I say that?
Yeah.
A lot of lighting. a lot of really cool lighting. It's just a totally different feel, and I'm really excited for it. So.
And Luke has a degree in this stuff, and this is what he is.
Right.
He's a master at it, and so he's doing a great job. And we just can't wait for you to see it. And we're going to be releasing commercials over the next few weeks. You'll be able to look at those. Facebook, Apologia Radio, you'll be able to check those out. Also, just as a side note, End Abortion Now, that stuff's happening, the website. But Apologia Studios is also getting a revamp. And so all the content is going to be easily accessible. You're going to be able to navigate much better. You're going to have lots more content on there just as we move along. And so all you guys are part of All Access. You're also going to get a much better website, and it's just going to be great. Great, great, great. Yeah. And so that's what's up.
One thing I'm, I'm excited about, I think we all are, as I talk into this giant mic, is we're going completely wireless with the mics and
that's right.
And headsets.
Right.
And so
yes,
it's going to be, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully it all sounds great.
It takes a lot of time to do this. I'm actually surprised because we've been in a stage where we're like, oh, we'll just order that on Amazon and overnight it. And a lot of the stuff, the equipment we've gotten for the show has taken like a month or two just to get in.
Yes. That's right. A lot of people may be thinking like, when's this stuff going to drop? Well, guys, we would have loved for it to happen in January, but yeah. Luke needs a little bit of time to build stuff.
Yeah.
And we have time for stuff to get in. And we have a website that has to get built.
Right. And shows take planning and
yes.
lots of time, especially yeah. something, you know,
as important
now that yeah. you have a writer for and yeah. all that stuff.
And again, we're trying to make now be as much now as possible.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. I just also want to mention that I think this is very important that this show gets watched. We're going to air it on Facebook Live Tuesdays at 10 o'clock.
Facebook kills YouTube.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. YouTube. And the reason is because Facebook distributes your content for you, whereas YouTube, you have to find it. It's a huge difference. And so one of the things we really want is we want to encourage you and your family to watch the show together on Tuesday nights.
And share it.
And of course, yeah. Because we're not doing this with the hopes of just having a cool Christian TV show.
No.
The goal is really to compete with Kimmel and Fallon and these guys. And, you know, like our writer said, you know, one of the things he told me is like Emmy in 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, we really believe it. Like, and our writer is really good. He's really great.
Very good.
And it's going to be, I really think it's going to be, you know, it's finally going to be that point where, you know, you have a John Oliver or John Stewart or Colbert, and now you have, you know, a Christian worldview.
Can I kind of say something to that?
Sure, of course.
To that point, John Oliver, and who's the other guy, the black guy? What's his name again?
Trevor Noah.
The guys, understand something, that these guys are teaching worldview to the country every single night. Every single night. And guess what they're promoting?
No doubt.
Radical pro-choicers. They are radical pro-choicers. They tell people to get involved, grassroots, to fight for the right to murder your children in our country. I'm telling you right now, it's not even slightly passive. It is having Cecil Richards on and having her do her thing. And so to have this...
And Tommy Lauren.
to have this show, listen, it's not about just having a show for Apologia. It is ultimately about ending abortion. You have to have a show that can compete with their worldview-driven media. And you have to have one that is Christian and to communicate. And so we are doing this to take a bite out of their worldview. We are doing it to come right at them and to every episode have a pointer to end abortion now and to educate Christians across the country to end abortion in their states. That's what we're doing. And we want to do it in a way that's quality. Guys, you know how we talk about it. We want to do our best for it. We don't want to do stuff that's bad because what God creates is good. And as much as is possible for us to do, we want to do this good. We want to do it in a way that glorifies God and can actually compete and do it in a way where the message is consistent, it is heard, people understand it, and yes, I make no apologies for it. This is a worldview-driven show. We are trying to promote the truth, and we're trying to do it in a way that actually ends abortion, and that's the heart of all this, and pray for it. And guys, please, share it. Share.
Just click the button,
guys. You understand that when the
clearly Christians don't
people
understand
the
that.
Radicals on the left are promoting humanism and secularism. They're sharing BuzzFeed. They're sharing Huffington Post. That's why they're getting millions of views. We need people to see this stuff, and the way they see it is you share it. And listen, when you share it, you partner with this as a ministry. That's the truth. That's not just something. That's not a selling point. I'm not a salesman. When you share this content. You are actually being a part of the propagation of the gospel and the truth together with us. It's not about us. It's honestly, all of us feel like look, this is about laying down a legacy for the gospel that all of us can step away from. We want all of us to be able to close our eyes and go to be with Jesus, knowing that we left behind something that actually can impact the world for the gospel for generations to come. That's what we're trying to build here. It's not about us. And so this is about the kingdom work together. So share the content.
Right. And share it. And the importance of having a big platform is not for our own fame.
No.
But it's to, so we can have a bigger bullhorn when it comes to preaching the gospel.
That's
that's what happened. The Bible says when you see a man skilled in his work, he will stand before kings.
Yeah.
Right. There's a reason people like Colbert and Stewart, those guys, go and meet the president at the White House. It's because they're good at what they do.
Right.
You know, those guys are the, I mean, you know, I think personally, John Stewart, I don't think there's anyone better than him. And you know, even as a conservative who hates most of the stuff he says, I appreciate a lot. And I think this, I think we can do the same with the show. I don't think we have to compromise our worldview, but I think we can have people, unbelievers, watch the show and know that, man, they're doing a good thing and they're skilled at what they do. And hopefully they'll, you know, we want to be able to say something on the show and CNN has a report on it.
And The View is talking about the next day.
Right.
Look, if you want the truth communicated to the culture, you have to have a big voice. We're trying to have a big voice. Help us.
Mm.
Help us have the big voice. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the message. So help us. Be a part of it with us. Really, join together with us. Let it be grassroots. Okay. In order for it to be grassroots, you have to do it with us. You have to actually stand up with us. You have to be a part of, like, clicking that button and sharing stuff so people see it. Good example, and then we'll get to this clip here real fast. When we did Summer's video where she went out to the Nasty Women's March in Phoenix, that thing was seen by over 300,000 people worldwide in a matter of hours. I'm talking like 3 or 4 hours, okay? Million people worldwide in like 24 hours. That's communicating the truth to a lot of people at the click of a button, and it's because people shared it. People saw it, they shared it. So share it, and the world sees the truth. All right, here we go. So this is a little fuller context. Question given to Gorsuch on Roe versus Wade, and I think this should probably clear up a little bit, at least offer a little bit more hope in terms of what his methodology is.
Well, let's go to a kind of a more controversial issue, but along the same lines I've been asking you. I think the case that most people are thinking about right now and the case that every nominee gets asked about, Roe v. Wade, can you tell me whether Roe was decided correctly?
Senator, again, I would tell you that Roe versus Wade, decided in 1973, is a precedent in the United States Supreme Court. It has been reaffirmed. The reliance interest considerations are important there. And all of the other factors that go into analyzing precedent have to be considered. It is a precedent of the United States Supreme Court. It was reaffirmed in Casey in 1992 and in several other cases. So a good judge will consider it as precedent of the United States Supreme Court, worthy as treatment of precedent like any other.
What about Griswold, which was decided a few years before Roe, the case where the court found constitutional right to privacy? Can you tell me your views on Griswold?
Senator, it's a precedent that's now 50 years old. Griswold involved the right of married couples to use contraceptive devices in the privacy of their own home. And it's 50 years old. The reliance interests are obvious. It's been repeatedly reaffirmed. All very important factors, again, in analyzing precedent.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to stop questioning, but I'd kind of sum up what you and I just talked about in regard to precedent so everybody understands the principles that are at stake here. There are two reasons why you can't give your opinion on these cases. One, I believe, is independence, and the other one's fairness to future litigants. Is that the way you see it?
It is, Senator. If I were to start telling you which are my favorite precedents or which are my least favorite precedents, or if I viewed precedent in that fashion, I would be tipping
my hand and suggesting to litigants that I've already made up my mind about their cases. That's not a fair judge. I didn't want that kind of judge when I was a lawyer, and I don't want to be that kind of judge now. And I made a vow to myself I wouldn't be.
He's a smart dude.
So, right. Yeah. I knew that this clip was in the background when I was, when you and I were going back and forth.
Yeah, I haven't heard that clip.
Okay. So that obviously, Marcus, you think that gives us a better understanding of where he's actually coming from in terms of.
It makes more sense in the context of the Al Franken quote when he was saying that he didn't want to give his personal opinions on anything.
Right.
So when you look at it in the context, he's just addressing what is
the case.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, we have a saying that says justice is blind, right?
Right.
And it's, you know, you want to look at the facts of the case, the individual case that comes up, you know, whether or not there's witnesses and stuff like that. And so I think when he said that, I'm a lot more comfortable with it, that.
Me too. But can I challenge you with something and tell me how you'd respond?
Sure.
Say, for example, today, kidnapping and enslaving black people was still on the books as legal.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Court had voted on it, and it's legal precedent in our country. You can, it's not a human. We can actually enslave them.
Mm-hmm.
Would we accept, knowing what we know about slavery and how we all feel about it, would we accept as a judge going up there who is a Christian who believed that slavery was immoral, would we accept him going up there to say, you know, I just don't want to give my personal opinion on whether or not slaving black people is immoral?
Yeah.
Or wrong precedent?
Good question.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I'd rehab it.
Yeah. Hey, just food for thought, guys. We're in strange times, right? We are in strange times.
Is that senator from Chicago by chance?
Chicago?
Or Michigan?
Michigan.
He's got an accent that sounds real familiar to me.
I don't know. Didn't say whether he was Democrat, Republican, or what. I'd never seen the guy before. All right, guys. We love y'all. We thank you guys for listening to another episode of Apologia Radio. Thank you guys so much. Pray for the team, if you would, out here. Pray for us. Pray that God would protect us from more people coming into church and trying to disrupt worship. And just pray for the mission ahead, guys. How do I put this? Okay, I'll put it this way. I was talking to Joy. I hope you don't mind me talking about this on the show, even though you know I have no idea what I'm talking about. I was talking about to Joy. We were talking to Joy about coming back to Kauai again with us on a mission. And she was talking about opportunities that she had, you know, and Kauai as a possibility. And it was really interesting because it really codified how we all feel and what our real mission is. When we were talking about going to Kauai and we're talking about all the other opportunities that she has up ahead of her, one thing Joy said, she said, like, we have to end abortion. Like, that's the main focus. What we have ahead of us this year is we're ending abortion. And that's how we feel is, look, when we said we want to end abortion now as a church, we want to be a part of being a catalyst to help make that happen. You have to understand that from our perspective at Apologia Church, like, we mean that. And that's where our heart is. That's what we want to take place. And so we need your prayers, because I can tell you right now, and I mean this, you got to understand this, that when you step out in faith and you try to do things like this, you become a target for the enemy. And so there's satanic attacks, there's spiritual attacks, there are even possible physical attacks that can come upon us as a church. There's weird things that happen. Trust me, Luke and I can share stories. When you step out in faith and you try to be faithful, weird things happen. And so as a church, we're committed to this, and we want your prayers, and we want you to do this with us. Please do. Please do it with us. Sign up at End Abortion now. If you're not going to come to the conference, sign up and get the training with your church. Go out and do the work. If you're not going to do that for whatever reason, please pray for us as a church. Partner with us. Sign up for All Access. Help us to do more. Pray for next week, the television show we're doing on Tuesday nights. Pray that God would use it to communicate the gospel truth to the culture, and he would use it to change the heart of our culture on abortion. That's the end of the show. That's Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
Joy the girl.
Yeah.
Marcus King Ginger.
See you later.
I'm the ninja. See you next time. Hey guys, don't fast forward through this commercial. Important message for you guys. We're meeting at a new location for Apologia Church worship services. I'm Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church. Join us for worship 4 p.m. on Sundays.
We are a family integrated church. Sorry, do I introduce myself? They don't know who I am.
Yeah, you can say Joy.
I don't.
You
can cut this for church, though.
Yeah.
But what do I do at the church? They're going to be like, that's one of those churches that has a lady pastor.
I want to keep this as a part of the commercial. I want you to leave this. Okay. All right. Luke.
This is Luke the Bear, discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. And the new location we're meeting at, like Jeff said, it's Tempe Vineyard Church. I think you said it was Tempe Vineyard Church.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, but that's okay.
You just did.
The address is 1805 East Elliott Road, number 112, Tempe, Arizona, 85284. That is on the southeast corner of McClintock and Elliott. Bring your wives, bring your kids, and bring your husbands too, because we're teaching everybody up in here.
Bring your beards, if you got them. Or no. It's up to you.
I'll have mine.
All right, guys. That's our new commercial. I think it's professional. We'll see you at Apologia Church. Join us for worship.
ApologiaChurch.com.